from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by The Great Escape.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Are we ready for this?
I am.
Okay. I'm a little worried that I'm this ready because usually I am sort of tiptoeing toward the Bears season with some degree of fear and loathing, and I'm not this year.
It's been a lot to get here. I think everyone's ready for the pressure release of let's go. This is week one.
I'm ready!
First play, I just want a hard play action sell, long post.
I just like a positive play.
No. Get this thing rolling.
It's a gainer.
Hard play action sell, like the Bears,
4 yards in a cloud of dust.
Like the Rex Grossman Moose Muhammad play, where you knew if they connected early, it was Yaha time.
Everything that we got in this locker room, it sounds good, it seems good. I mean, I've seen it, but at the end of the day, none of that matters. I mean, what matters is what we're going to do this weekend.
Maybe this Bears team is indifferent. They understand tradition, but they don't care about the negative history as much as they're asked about it. And it's not a matter of trying to not be. It's just who they are and who they aren't.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hello. Hola. Bienvenidos, bienvenue, willkommen. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Bernstein and Holmes Show is on. Leila Rahimi is here. And we've got Ray Diaz and Adam Studzinski and Brandon Fryer and Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka and things. And we have thoughts on sports for you.
I didn't know if there was more to it or what.
I don't have any more to it than that. Just red hot thoughts on sports.
Welcome to Score Midday.
To entertain and amuse.
Well, feel free to offer us some inform. Of them if you got them.
I liked Hard Knocks. I thought it was good.
There you go.
I thought these last two episodes have been redemptive and football-y, satisfyingly football-y. I didn't need the ice cream museum and anything else, and we get...
I don't understand why you don't seem to get that's part of it.
No, I understand it is. I'm saying, personally, this is the stuff I like.
I also like that Dan was really angry about the ice cream museum and kept saying that nobody knows where it is. When I walk by it, because it's in front of the NBC Tower every day, and there's a line out the door. Every single time there's a line.
Where in front of NBC Tower?
In the Tribune building.
Oh.
You know, there's that courtyard and it's across from the Apple store.
Yes.
Yeah. Next to a Foxtrot that's defunct, but I understand one of them might come back.
The one in Gold Coast opened today.
Pour one out for that, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Creative accounting or something.
I don't think the story's been told on that quite yet.
So anyway, point being that, and I had heard about it for years because it's really popular in L.A., you just haven't spent enough time on that Instagram, Dan. If you did, you would know about the Museum of Ice Cream.
Okay.
I went and got some ice cream on Sunday, and my friend Joanne, who was here, she hit me to Jenny's Ice Cream like a long time ago. And I went in there, and I got their honey vanilla. It is life-changing.
They have a butter cake flavor ice cream.
I tried that one, too. They gave me a sample of that, and I was like, this is excellent.
And their frozen sorbet is also
good. I had the raspberry sorbet champagne thing, and it was amazing. But that honey vanilla.
Not to get us off topic.
Life-changing.
You know what I did Friday night? We had dinner at Coal Fire Pizza, and then I had the family dropped me at the Dairy Queen on Southport and Grace, and I got a peanut buster parfait, and I on that lovely Friday night, and I walked home by myself eating my peanut buster parfait.
Hell yeah.
And it was fantastic.
I haven't had Ginny's this year. I got to get that done before it gets cold and stuff.
Well, I was actually going to go to the Dairy Queen, but the line was long, and I was like, there's a Ginny's like right there.
Different thing. Very different things, though.
All of that says
different
to me,
cravings.
We're supporting the Museum of Ice Cream. It's just a place for kids to like run around in it. It's bright and colorful, and you take pictures. Do you know how hard it is to entertain kids?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Think about this show.
It's hard to entertain adults.
Yes.
Yes, it's hard to entertain kids. Yes.
My grown-ass cousin went there, and she had a great time.
Yeah, a lot of grown-ass people
go. Sent me a bunch of pictures.
Exactly. It's a picture thing.
I'm not saying anything wrong with it.
The kids
when
like
it comes
pictures
to Hard Knocks,
now.
I want coaches sitting around a table talking about players.
But,
and there was a lot of it.
Okay. But the other stuff is part of it.
Fine, but I don't need that other stuff.
Listen, if Ariel Moore wants to program the rest of the Hard Knocks shows, I am okay with this.
They can give her a spinoff. That'll be fine. If they want to do a whole show with her and that family, that's great. But I need the special teams coach that he can break up that wedge, get us going. That's
But also congratulations to them. She made the announcement last night on the show.
Yeah. They're having a baby.
They're a baby.
It was a very cool...
DJ Moore family.
I thought that they did an excellent job kind of wrapping things up with there being no actual game action to play with. That they were able to kind of button up some of the stories that they had opened. It also gave us a view into how Ryan Poles gets down. I thought there were some that moment with Colbert was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
to see it affect him, because you know there are times when I look at Ryan Poles and feel like he's a bit too robotic, but seeing him be a human being in that moment I thought was cool. It shouldn't be easy for these guys. It shouldn't just be cold and calculated. You do root for certain players and you try to be fair to everybody, but you know what a guy's story. I heard a Goff talking on his podcast. I guess he had met Colbert and didn't know that he was a football player, and he was like, he doesn't give off like football player vibes. Like he just gives off solid dude vibes,
like a hippie type of dude.
Yeah.
He's walking around with no shoes on.
Yeah,
I don't even know that I'd call him a hippie necessarily. I think it's exactly what Poles described, don't you think? Like there are some people who just give off a different energy, and he certainly seems like one of them.
He seems like he has taken a lot of really good things from whether it's Eastern or African philosophy and added it to his life, and it seemed to have made his life better. It's a weird thing, but every time that guy was on the screen, I felt at peace. As weird as like, and the thing is when he gets cut, he was less upset than Poles was.
Well, the Singing Bulls are Tibetan, I believe.
I said Eastern,
yeah,
African.
Saying, specifically Tibetan, as far as I understand the Singing Bulls. And the earthing thing, the idea of being in you know, your feet on the ground kind of thing is yeah, he's got a new agey thing going.
There's a worldliness to him.
I think,
and he seems unbothered by a lot of stuff, which I think is cool.
I think you also just admire people who have faced the level of adversity that he has and learned what he needed to do to be the best version of himself. Like, there's a real appreciation to me for that and the perseverance that he has, given everything he's gone through. I don't know a lot of people who would have stuck with anything like he has and has dedicated to it as much as the commitment is there for football and trying to make a way in this league, especially at that level.
And it looks,
you're not necessarily a favorite and you know you might be on the fringe, and he's still able to persevere like this.
It looks like Wheeler kind of thought it through the way that we did last week. And he's like, maybe I'll just get a jump on medical school.
Uh-huh.
It's a good idea.
Yep.
Take this time while you're rehabbing to further your education. And maybe you are the running back doctor. We know that we've had an offensive lineman doctor, so it's very possible to do that.
Duvernay Tardif and former Bears offensive lineman Stephon Humphreys became a doctor after his Bears career. Yeah,
but I mean during.
Speaking of smart offensive linemen, I did want to see more Karan Amagaji in Hard Knocks. He's Bears meatball. Come on now.
Well, he was being Yale meatball last night.
Arguing about the birth of the game of football with his Canadian brother.
I mean, he wasn't
I needed him in more scenes in the show. Why am I waiting until the last episode to see him? I know he's got hot takes.
Yeah, the Bears have a little bit of a Yale history. It was Michael McCaskey was a wide receiver at Yale, and of course Gary Fensick was at Yale.
Was Gary Fensick as Bears meatball-y?
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know, a part of the greatest of the meatball team.
He was the least of the meatballs on that team.
That's it to me. He seems like a voice of reason.
And they would tell you that. And everybody in the locker room would tell you that.
I need somebody to not be reasonable.
When Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael were holding him upside down in the shower.
Yes.
Because they wanted to. That happened. Speaking of which, the things we did not get a Steve McMichael story.
No.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that.
I am too. And we didn't get Kevin Warren waking up.
Well, we kind of did, though. I thought last night was pretty spot on
I thought we'd get it.
We didn't get him waking up, but we got him staring at Hallis.
Yeah, I know.
I do love the chandelier concept that they were talking about. And then I started to realize, man, there are a lot of clear posts in that chandelier.
A lot of clear lights.
Do you know what that reminded me of in a weird way? Do you remember the crystals in Superman's Fortress of Solitude?
Yes.
No.
And you probably know what they all mean, but there was something like that. Like there was the green crystal that does something, and he'd slide different crystals into different tubes.
Because that's how Kryptonians stored their information, was those crystals.
Information rods, or I forgot the name of it, but something like that.
Okay. So the other ones, those clear ones at Hallis Hall, are bad football rods?
I don't know. That's the vibe I was getting, though, from that.
Well, they just represent losing seasons. We don't need to
loser
say a
rods,
lot there.
Got it.
So, the blue ones were winning seasons and the orange, or blue were playoffs.
Blue were playoffs, and then there's the championships. So you have like 63 and 85, and then not a lot.
Well, there's a bunch before 63, too.
Yeah.
I was also disappointed that Matt Eberflus isn't his own beekeeper.
What? He can't do everything, Dan.
We knew that, though.
I know, but I wanted him in the suit. If they could just have him, you know, like with the smoker and in the thing, just put the suit on for the show.
No.
Get the honey, right? Right? We got the honey. We got to level up, right? And just he's in there. And
I think it's pretty great that they kept the bees. Not everybody will do that. Did I tell you guys the story about my dad's house and how these bees just came to live there? It didn't. There were some bees that unfortunately did not make it.
Well, you don't want them.
I'm still mad at my dad about
it. You want them if they're in hives. It's
different. They were in this like cabinet thing on a fence.
Oh, that's a hive, right?
Yeah, they created a hive, all right. I was pretty mad at him. He said like he opened the door and then the hive fell and then all this honey started coming out. I'm like, what are you doing? That's gold.
Oh no, it's Yuli's gold.
I just like that Matt Eberflus is living large,
dude.
That is an estate.
That looked like Napa Valley.
If there's one thing I've learned about him, he leads a pretty decent life in this here thing. Think about it. The glow up. His wife seems cool. His daughters know what's up. Like, they seem like cool people. I'm like, all right, Mighty Refluse, you figured this thing out.
Yeah, he seems to have figured it out. It's funny because we were talking
about
the bees
came to him.
The temporary stadium for Northwestern, and it had that same vibe to it where it's like right there on the water. And if they've been filming as they have over the last couple of weeks, the weather in Chicago has just been perfect. And it's been perfect to have the lake as a character because the waves have been really strong. I was like, okay, Matt Eberflus, I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I never thought that I would have a discussion involving some comparison between Matt Eberflus and the barefoot Contessa Ina Garten.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought, because you know the shots in her fabulous show, and I just adore her, but the shots of them, she and Jeffrey walking around as the sun sets, and they're setting out all these lovely plates to entertain, and her friend TR comes over with his flowers and his fabulous head of hair, and I kept expecting her to show up with a panzanella salad, because it looked that nice. Like, there is...
It's really nice.
Really nice. Like, I want to be invited to a dinner party there sometime.
I also thought
that... I don't think that's happening.
I know.
That edit, oh my God, was that gorgeous.
What's it called?
Well, I reached out to someone who does this for a living and asked them about it.
We should establish what we're talking about here. This was in the scene at practice where they were zeroing in on Caleb's throws. And they were kind of going in between conversations with Caleb, Shane Waldron and Caleb, and then they were going to the plays.
Oh, I was talking about the one where they were zoomed out from up high, and then they were zooming in on the same play on different facets of it.
I think that was all the same
scene. We're all talking about the same.
Yeah, it was different plays.
It was different plays.
It was all different.
They were going back and forth, like, from snap to left side, right side, different plays. And so I asked someone who would know, and this person said, seamless edit created by using a whip pan or switch pan as a transition point. Three different plays edited together in the spot where the camera is coming back to the quarterback. Edit hidden in the movement. The best example of this is the movie Birdman. Remember how the entire film looks like one single take. What happened to that boy? Sage doesn't know.
Somebody had to say
it. You know nothing about that, Sage! Wow.
You kept saying Birdman, and I was like, I don't know this movie, but I definitely know the artist.
Birdman is terrific.
Michael Keaton.
Terrific movie. Michael Keaton, Edward Norton, Emma Stone.
That man is rich beyond measure. Mm-hmm. When was this movie?
Birdman? Didn't
it's like,
like 2000, like, aughts?
Yeah, nine. I'm
won a bunch of Oscars.
Oh, yeah. I was just mostly working 2014. Then and made no money.
2014.
Oh, later than I thought.
Yeah. That's all I was doing at that time.
I think it's supposed to, Dan, you've seen it. I haven't seen it, but I remember the buzz about it. Now, isn't it supposed to kind of depict Michael Keaton's, like, the way it playing Batman impacted his life?
Yes.
Kind of, right? Okay.
I thought we heard it. I'm Batman.
Yes.
I'm Batman.
That's a different Batman.
I love that so much.
Yeah, it's Alejandro Iñárritu.
I'm Batman.
It is a really interesting movie. I mean, look at that. That's right. Naomi Watts, Edward Norton, Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, that's quite the casting.
Michael Keaton. Yeah, it's good. Emma Stone.
But the point is, it is cool to see that Hard Knocks used all of its toys yesterday.
I wish they would have used some of those toys earlier in the series.
Oh, you mean when they had to, like, slow-mo one pass and replay it seven times? I'm like, I have this technology. You are trying to fill time, team.
Well, we got a lot of their famous spinning, spiraling ball in the air.
They got that last night, too. Where they showed that for you, but I thought that edit was like killer.
It was a lot of fun.
What a beautiful piece of like filmmaking.
I think you
that
need
was
an HD drone or something to make that look right.
I don't know what they had to do it. All I know is it looked awesome.
Well, our guy Grody during one of his hits on our show at practice said he saw drones flying around, so I'm sure it was.
I'm worried about Grody being attacked or followed by drones. I mean, because Grody has a bad history at Hallis Hall with machinery.
Well, the lawnmower was featured yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but I'm
yard machine.
I'm worried about a Hellfire missile finding Grody just because somebody in a strip mall in suburban Baltimore decides to aim it at him.
I think there are rules about that stuff.
I know, but it's Grody, so there may be carve-outs in the rules that transcend things.
There was something in yesterday's Hard Knocks that we haven't talked about that we probably should talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We will let you know what that is next. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, talking Bears with you on The Score.
I'm covered in bees.
Burns from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Steen and Holmes.
Mike C. Nelson. Now we know his name is Keith from the Progressive Becoming Your Parents commercials.
The White Sox. I can't believe they did more due diligence on hiring a play-by-play guy than a GM.
Middays 10 a.m. till 2.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable to root for that team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're one of us.
You're one of us, Mike.
In terms of Bayless with you, what would he do for us? He mean kick return. He play on punt return on the interior, in the core or the outside. He could play either one. And on kickoff, he'd play anywhere on kickoff. And then he'd just be, depending on how our corner health is, he'd be the first gunner in. So he'd be in at, hell, we might roll those gunners in the game. Honestly, his speed, he looked way better at gunner this year than he did last year right now.
And then obviously if you want the other
He's
way.
He's alive.
It's alive! It's alive!
Ryan Pohl's leaning into the bit a little bit. That's HBO's Hard Knocks. Richard Hightower talking about all the different ways he can deploy the multifaceted Velus Jones. And that all sounds fine to me because it doesn't involve him trying to catch a football.
Yeah, I guess that's it, right? If you're not asking him to catch a projectile, then he might be your guy. The speed is the speed regardless, and I understand that, but
speed and size, especially that gunner position, being able to get through blocks, shake people off, angle your way toward the returner.
Yeah, but he's not the gunner. That they were talking about if they had a depth problem right at gunner, and then he said put him in there.
No, he said we might roll those gunners. I mean, that means
a lot of work to protect somebody who has made a lot of bad plays.
Yes.
He was alive.
Like, I mean, I always follow, and Wani can back me on this because I learned it from his guy, but I always follow the Jimmy Johnson principle of, yes, it's great that you have a lot of players who can make a lot of good plays. Show me the one who makes the least bad ones. And he is not that person. That's why I get frustrated.
Well, they've definitely tried everything to try and make it work with him. He is a really good kick returner. That is proven. He is a good kick returner, one of the best in the league.
But we haven't seen whether or not that's even going to be deployed in the same way in the regular season.
Correct. I am almost certain that the choice is going to be, we will just kick it out of the back of the end zone.
If it's the 30-yard line, like, you've got to make that penalty to the point where it hurts teams.
Yep.
40.
35, I think, gets the 40. Job done. The 35 is egregious to me. We'll make that's it, a 15-yard penalty from the 20.
Make
that
it
is
kick
a
it
lot.
Out of bounds, put it at the 40.
40. Go straight 40 with it.
Oh, my
if
God.
If you want these returned, you can get them returned.
That is disgusting. The 40-yard line? Starting at the 40.
What's the downside?
They just cut the field while you're
what's
at it.
What's the downside?
I'm with Dan on this because if the goal is to get teams to return kicks,
yeah,
then you have to then make the pet. It's because we talked about this last week. It's a penalty if the ball hits before the 20. So that's considered to be out of bounds like the old rules. So why not also make it out of bounds if it's in the end zone?
That's what I said. If you want it in the field of play, keep it in the field of play. And people will. And they'll get specialists that are able to lift it high in the air and drop it right down into a pocket and allow you to set your
hot
defense.
Pocket.
Hot pocket. Hot pocket, hot pocket. Put directly in the toilet. If you want it, you can do it. No, it's part of the Jim Gaffigan bit, remember?
You know what we're doing right now? We're doing the same thing they did in the room. Wish casting scenarios for somebody who hasn't proven enough. Who is this mystery team?
I don't mean to be this guy, but you mean to tell me that Velus Jones is more valuable than Justin Fields?
Exactly. Who is this mystery team? Was it the Schmovid Ligers?
Oh, you got to watch out for them. You throw the records out when they come in.
Are they in the league? I think they should be in the league. But seriously, who was this mystery team that suddenly wanted to give up potentially a higher round draft pick for Velus Jones than Justin Fields.
Do you guys think if Ian Wheeler is healthy, they cut Velus?
Doesn't sound like it. It didn't sound like it from what they were saying yesterday.
It sounded like they feel like he's more versatile than Wheeler, even though Wheeler's got something that you know he's or had speed.
All right, weird thought. Maybe they still want to trade Velus.
They just want to make sure they get that fourth round pick.
And they wanted to hear all the other teams to hear their internal deliberations about how valuable and versatile he is.
But they those other teams have tape
every day. That yeah, sure that's the thing. The NFL has the tape on you.
Just a thought.
They know. They know. So who's this team? That's what I want to know.
Moving Ligers.
Is there any team? Like, I know that we're laughing about him, but is there any team that has depth issues at receiver? Like, I don't know. Don't the Titans this week have depth issues at receiver?
Yeah, among other things. I will say this. It's obvious that, and I'm not good at this game in the game of life professionally, but people really enjoy working with him. Like, he has a personality that's very affable. Everybody likes him. And I think that's gone a long way, too.
What did Napoleon Dynamite say about the liger?
It's pretty much his favorite animal.
Right. And what's the other, like, bred for its magic skills or something, right? He says something like that. Bred for its skills in magic magic?
This ain't the Rosner Show.
Oh, sorry.
Stop getting hooped up on doofballs over there. You got to come back to the now. The point is, I want to know who this mystery team was.
Who is really thin at some of those, you know, speed and skill positions? I mean,
Carolina.
I would say the worst. Immediately go to the worst teams.
Carolina's going to be better than you thought. Again?
Why is Carolina going to be good?
Because you're different GM.
Because Bryce Young is going to all of a sudden grow.
Okay.
I'm asking. Why do you think they're going to be good?
I don't think they're going to be good. I said they're going to be better than you think.
Maybe. How do you know if I think?
They won two games last year, right? They can do better than that. They can double that.
They will at least double that.
Do we still have to root for them to be bad?
No, you can root for them to be good if you want.
I mean, okay. That whole division needs to sort itself out.
You should be rooting for Justin Fields to be the starter in Pittsburgh.
Right, because I'm looking for making sure Bears' assets are optimized.
Yeah.
That whole division needs to sort itself out.
The NFC South?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody has to want to win it, number one.
I think Atlanta is trying to tell you that they want to win it.
I know who they promoted.
$150 million on quarterbacks.
But there's other positions on the team.
There are, but the problem with Atlanta, they had skill position guys. They've got Bijan and Pitts. They've got a pretty good defense. They've just kind of, they had Desmond Ridder out there being like, and now they don't have that anymore.
Lawrence appeared to be throwing the ball to places where somebody wouldn't be.
I was doing exactly what Desmond Ridder was doing.
That was a really good Desmond Ridder.
That guy's out of the league now.
He's done.
I'm sad about this.
Does he go to Canada?
No, he'll end up, it's quarterbacks. Someone will be like, oh, yeah, remember him? He was drafted in the third round or whatever. Let's bring him in.
He's going to have to learn to speak Canadian. He's going to have to go up there and learn to be a Saskatchewan Rough Rider.
Defenk.
Or an Ottawa Rough Rider, right? And there's still two?
There's still two Rough Riders. You want to be a Montreal Alouette.
Why not a Winnipeg Blue Bomber?
Because you get to live in Montreal.
That's true. Although a Toronto Argonaut is allowed to live in Toronto.
Pretty good. You have fun there.
Yeah, you don't want to be a Winnipeg Blue Bomber. Oof. They got a lot of my money in Winnipeg. And that's no thank
you. Je peux vivre à Montréal.
Ooh.
See?
Wow. I just said I can live in Montreal.
You're all fancy with that highfalutin talk.
It's a really great place.
If they really...
I hope they get a baseball team.
If they really,
and I hope
really,
it's the White Sox.
Really had a team... Wouldn't you be tempted to trade him?
If who had a team?
To partner with for a Velus Jones Jr. trade where you're
getting... Oh, to send him to Montreal?
For a draft pick.
For a fourth? In a heartbeat.
I didn't even think we were debating that. I would have traded him, period.
I mean,
if someone is offering you a... Let's call it a fifth because Poll said he wasn't going to do it for anything under a fourth. If someone offered me a fifth for Velus Jones, and I mean a fifth of vodka, I would have done it.
Yeah, but it's like buying off a bad bet at that point. If somebody's coming in and giving you pennies on the dollar for a ticket, you're probably not going to cash.
I got two words for you, my friend. Chase Claypool.
He caught him.
And got a pick for him.
After a very long runway. Mm-hmm. And they didn't cut him until he started acting an ass. It wasn't. They didn't cut him because he couldn't play, even though he couldn't play.
No, they got a seventh round pick for him, right?
Yes.
Like 2 years from now or something like that?
But it wasn't.
It wasn't
because he was bad at football. It was because he became a problem.
Well, I think he's bad at football too.
Bad
at football because he doesn't want to be good.
He is bad at football, but
not
my
bad at
point
football
is that
he tries.
They weren't worried about the bad at football part.
All I know is, man,
they were worried about bad football character part.
Trady McTraderson over here, and I mean me, would make that trade. And I understand that because of where he was drafted and his relative contract status, it's not his age, obviously, it's his contract age. I understand why they want to kick the tires on it a little more, but oof, I don't know. That would have tempted me.
I thought it was funny to hear Paulson, he's alive.
Yeah.
He's alive.
I mean, he knows. We know, he knows.
Right.
Of course. Right. The difference is I just don't believe in people often.
I hope he doesn't fumble.
Yeah, he's not bad at football.
That's it, man.
He could be alive and bad at football because that would be the least plausible scenario for that working out.
I will say this. This might indicate something else.
Most plausible, I should say.
That they don't want to trade somebody unless they think they are absolutely done with that person.
That's what I'm saying about Claypool.
And I mean absolutely done. Like, I'll be partially done with somebody and be like, wait, what's the deal? You know, like, well, what are you trying to get me here?
They weren't trading him until he turned out to be a jerk publicly.
Yeah. But the problem is, a lot of times that is at the lowest perceived value of the buyer.
Bingo.
Yep. That's the problem.
Well, they also traded someone else who was at the highest point of value.
And that's why I
find then that guy went on to be a two-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
I'm not salty about that.
I know you aren't, but you should be.
No,
you should be because of the process of it.
I like their linebackers a lot,
though. I like their linebackers, too. Whole lot. One of them is going to be on the show every week. That doesn't mean that trading an all-pro linebacker is a great idea.
It just means that he'll move heaven and earth for his guys.
If
you're a his guy, he's going to move heaven and earth for you. But if you're not, the margin for error becomes very, very, very small.
I think the Roquan thing was more than that. I think the Roquan thing was don't mess with me. Don't demand a trade. Don't come in here with some pretend agent you made up and try to push me around.
The agent was real and got him the contract that he wanted.
The problem is in the NFL, production matters. In the NFL, production matters. And his production was at an all-time high. He became the highest paid player at his position after that.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying I do understand.
You have no frame of reference to say he's bad. He's an all-pro linebacker.
If you're willing to throw away...
I'm not arguing any of that.
If you're willing to throw away elite production because of a personality difference,
that's
an issue in the NFL.
Thank you, Layla.
I thought the way he defined stack linebacker and how it fit the defense was a bit of a stretch, but I think there was a kernel of truth in that, and I do think it established him as somebody who wasn't going to mess around with players trying to push him around.
All we've done is just illustrate the inconsistency in policy with only one thread being common. Either you were drafted or acquired by this front office or you were not. On the score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The score.
And 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Something I've kind of just been managing. I can't really pinpoint like a date or anything like that, but I threw my last bullpen in Washington. And, I mean, Tommy could kind of tell I was feeling a little something, and it was kind of the same thing. But, we just kind of made a decision. It was like kind of been battling. It was kind of just go ahead and figure out what it was. So, but from, you know, everybody's understanding, it was good news this morning.
That's Justin Steele. So everybody had been trying to reassure us that things are okay. I tend to think that a major league pitcher with elbow inflammation and soreness is something always of concern. Ah, no, it's nothing. It just happens. And it's also from personal experience, the number of times I would be near Kerry Wood's locker and point to his elbow and say, is it supposed to look like that? And he would start to answer, and then one of the Cubs media weasels would come running over and just be like, oh, that's totally normal. That's completely normal post-game swelling. I said, I don't think so. I think you're lying. And then 2 weeks later, he was like, well, he needs Tommy John surgery, and he's out. Because I just tend to not believe some of this stuff, but it does sound like the MRI didn't show anything horrible.
Yeah, the MRI is kind of the important piece of this here. Was there an MRI done on Kerry Wood at the time?
There was. Then there was eventually.
Eventually, but not at the time.
They said it was totally normal. And Kerry Wood was about to answer, and they didn't let him.
I bet he would now.
He was about to say that, and he was about to be like, and then Uriah Heep comes running over. And be like,
I will say this. I think, here's the thing. After hearing what Jed said at the trade deadline, which was essentially, we're going to make deals that help us in the future, not necessarily now. If something were really wrong with Justin Steele, and I was even waiting until after the game last night to see if there was an update, to the point where you'd need to shut him down for the rest of the season, or that he might need surgery. I think that everybody would want that sooner rather than later. You know, unfortunately, there's some symmetry here with what happened at the beginning of the year with him.
Let's hear from the Cubs pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy, who was on this morning with Mully and Haw, talking about the prognosis for Justin Steele.
I think the number one thing with Justin, we just wanted to see how he wakes up, how he feels. You know, obviously, like, he was pretty stiff, I think, yesterday, just from the MRI portion of it. It's never, you're never in good, like, comfortable positions or anybody's ever gotten an MRI, or especially one on your arm or your forearm that kind of puts you in some weird positions. So definitely wanted to see how he presented today, how he plays catch. You know, I think we have a plan of kind of how we'd like Justin to progress over the next, you know, 3 to 4 days. But again, a lot of it's just still going to be managing some symptoms. It was very, very encouraging to get the news that we got yesterday. There wasn't really anything, you know, structurally, you know, wrong. Probably more just like some tendonitis, some stiffness in there that just needs to kind of work itself out. So, you know, we should know more today, like you said, after we play catch and get kind of a better read on where it is.
Tommy, as encouraging as the news was yesterday, over the next 3 or 4 days, as you get more information, how will that be weighed against or compared to where you are in the standings relative to the wild card race, and what consideration will be placed on possibly not bringing him back or rushing him back if you guys are further out of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think number one, we got to do what's best for Justin. I think, you know, obviously we want him as part of our push here. And whether it's, you know, we push his start back, you know, 4 to 5 days, or it is a potential minimum IL stint, like all those things are going to be things we consider. And still, you know, with the vision of hoping that he can still make, you know, like 3 or 4 starts as this season winds down. And obviously we're, you know, we have every intent, and our focus is on winning every game we can over the next, you know, 3 weeks to put us in a good position to make that final push that last, you know, 10 days of the season. So there are a lot of things up in the air. There's a lot of balls up in the air, but I think we're trying to take this day to day right now. And obviously if things change and we get closer to, you know, that last week of the season, we'll obviously adjust from there.
Okay. All right. I guess it's still not great.
I was not encouraged by anything that was said yesterday or today.
It could be worse though. It absolutely could be, oh yeah, his UCL is shredded and that's that.
Yeah, it still could be that too, though. Like, it's not their job to reassure, especially if they don't know. But in listening to them, I'm like, this kind of looks like, how about we wait and see how the rest of this series goes? How about we wait and see what the next series is? And then we can kind of decide on what happens with Justin Steele.
And it's a rare thing, but sometimes even with professional athletes, you have inconclusive imaging and you have swelling in the joint capsule. you have whatever it is, the synovial fluid that gets around there that makes it difficult for them to get an exact reading. I don't know if they did an enhanced MRI or not, but sometimes it takes time to find out what's exactly wrong. But there have been pitchers who go through this and who don't, it doesn't end up being worst case scenario, and they just need to rest a tired arm and tired ligaments. I don't know. I'm hopeful for the best, and especially because he's not young.
No, and for the record, when I was talking about the symmetry from the beginning of the season, I know it was a hamstring injury. It was just the fact that the Cubs were going to have to make do without him. And that's unfortunately what put them in this position to begin with, I think, a little bit, was that they couldn't withstand having him out in a way that was going to set them up for relative success when he was out for the first, 6 to 8 weeks of the season?
If you're looking for something fun to do tomorrow, here it is for you. Matt Spiegel and The Afternoon Show will be live from Rally House in Wrigleyville tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m. Stop by for the chance to win prizes and shop the best team gear selection in Chicago. Join 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. or shop 10 Chicago area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. Next up, Mike Florio, getting you ready for week one of the NFL that starts tomorrow night on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.